a church that it's talking to here. Paul is writing to the church of what? Corinth. And here's the thing. He's telling the men and the ladies, if you're thinking of giving up, if you're thinking of walking away, if you're thinking of throwing the towel, right? He's saying, look, just conduct yourself like men would conduct themselves in this situation. What do you mean? They show courage. Back then, that was the society had. Men showed courage. Men stood under pressure. They behaved mature. I know nowadays we live in a different society. Amen. Nowadays, a lot of men, including myself, we grew up in dysfunctional homes, single-parent homes. We were raised by mothers. Not that there's anything wrong with ladies. Please don't misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. But also understand God has the formula, right? In the home, there's supposed to be a what? A man and a woman, right? And those two are supposed to be husband and wife. Nothing else outside of that. Anything outside of that is sin. But the way the home is supposed to function, the man is supposed to be the leader of the home, the spiritual leader of the home, and he is supposed to be courageous under pressure. And he's supposed to stand up and be mature. Now, this is what Paul's saying, don't quit under pressure, even though it says quit you like men. He's saying, no, stand up. You have to understand, the speaker here is Paul. Paul, a man who knows pressure. A man who has been beaten for the sake of the gospel, beaten and left to die. A man that has experienced shipwreck. Here is a man that's talking to the church of Corinth and saying, look, you have lustful sin going on in your church. You have immorality. Stop. Be courageous, grow up, and be spiritually mature. Stop suing each other. That's what's going on in the church of Corinth, in case you didn't know. It's very interesting. He's saying, stop suing each other. You're brothers and sisters in the faith. Show some grace. Stop having cliques. Stop having divisions in the church. You're one. Be united. And you have to understand that Paul, he was betrayed. He was imprisoned. He was persecuted. But Paul did not what? He didn't quit. You have to understand, when a man has scars, battle wounds, and he tells you not to quit, you should probably listen. Man, I want to tell you here at Victory Baptist Church, I'm not saying we're like the Church of Corinth, but I do know that if there is any spiritual immaturity in us, that we should be courageous enough to be mature, to take responsibility for our actions. Amen? I want us to understand that here Paul is talking to this church of Corinth, but he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to a people that are full of gifts, yet they're unstable in their Christian life. He's talking to a group of people that have talent, but they're a little soft. They're not tough. It's talking to a group of people that have the ability to be mature, but they're without maturity. Can I tell you something? Just because we show up to church, it doesn't mean we use our spiritual gifts. Assembling means using your spiritual gifts. It doesn't mean just show up for church attendance and get what you can from the church. That's why the Bible is very specific. I love the King James because it's very, very specific and on purpose. It didn't say, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves, the assembling. My friends, I'm going to tell you what's going on in Corinth. It's a church that's under pressure. It's failing. It's falling apart. There's division in the church. There's immorality that the church people are tolerating. Things that shouldn't be done are being done in the church. There's pride. There's jealousy. Lawsuits again amongst each other. And listen, they have doctrinal problems. When they're worshiping, some are worshiping to Jehovah. Some are worshiping Jesus. Some are worshiping someone else, Diana. You have to understand that that's a church that's spiritually immature. Now you say, Pastor, were they saved? Yeah, they were saved. They were believers. But here's the thing. They were soft. They were soft in their doctrine. They were soft in their Bible. They were soft in their prayer life. They were soft. These were the type of people, I'm not saying we have any here, amen, But if the pastor or someone that is in authority, or maybe not someone that's in authority, if a child told someone something, hey, we shouldn't do that, these were the type of people that got offended. Who are you to tell me? Well, I know I'm nobody, amen. I'm a nobody preaching about a somebody. That's it, okay? So I'm with you. But if we're honest, right? You're nobody too, serving a somebody. It's all about Jesus here. This is a place for everyone to know Christ. Not to know the pastor. To know who? Christ. And if we're serving Christ, we do everything to please who? Christ, not men. Not so we could be seen of others, amen? Not so we can get recognized, but understand this is that type of church. They looked spiritual, but they were soft. They got offended. Not that that happens here, amen? I want you to understand here, watch ye just means stay awake spiritually. Spiritually, be vigilant. So be careful. Danger, danger. If there's something in your life that's wedging between you and your relationship with God, take it out. Watch ye. Wake up spiritually. Well, how can you wake up spiritually if all you do during the week is watch videos or reels or your social media? Pastor, do you do that? Yeah, it comes to the pastor too, amen? But I will tell you this, in comparison to my Bible reading, it hasn't got... I understand what's a priority. It hasn't taken a priority in my life. Understand, that's just entertainment. Amen? There's a thing that you have to understand right now. I feel tired and things. It's not that I'm trying to mope or pout. But here's one thing that you're going to realize about your pastor. My office might not look pretty, but I promise you, my prayer life and my walk with God is prettier than my office. It's in order. I'm not about the show. I'm not about the self-image. And I'm not trying to tell you my personal life so you can understand, oh, wow, pastor, you're spiritual. But right now I'm tired because of things in my life that I had to get straight and correct, that I had to pray and spend some time with God. But I didn't want to come here to you and be a hypocrite that I hadn't spent time with God. Social media wasn't going to take that from me. You say, Pastor, why? Because I've survived what I've been through, man. It's ugly. It's violent. It's destructive. It's sinful. And understand, you can either choose that life, and I get it, not everybody grows up in the circumstances we do, but also understand that's what sin does. You don't have to be from the neighborhood I'm from. You don't have to be from the pedigree I'm from. All I'm telling you is that's what sin does. When it takes precedence in our life and it's primary, guess what it does? It destroys. It destroys. It brings death. And that's not what I want for our church. I definitely don't want that for my marriage or my family. So guess what I'm going to do? Invest my time. Folks, we can't continue living in a society here without praying to God. Please, take some time, separate it, and spend time with God. Yes, talk to Him, but more importantly, read the Bible. Why? Because that's God speaking to you. That's God talking to you. You get to know God. But really, take the time to teach the kids and teach yourself how to obey the Word of God, because that's where the power is. It's in the application of the doctrine, the teaching of the Word of God. This is what the Church of Corinth didn't have. You have to understand, we cannot quit under pressure. It says, watch ye, right? Stand fast in the faith. What does that mean? Hold your ground, even if everything around you shifts. If culture shifts and it's no longer popular to go to church, stand your ground. If it's not popular to read your Bible, stand your ground. Amen? It doesn't matter what culture does. Christ is risen. Culture's dead. It's not God that's dead. Culture is dead. Why would I want to follow a cult? What is a cult? Culture. What is a cult? Someone that follows a what? A man. That's a cult. Why do I want to follow the modern day cult, which is the culture of the world? They didn't die for me. They weren't there when I was thinking, where's my dad in my life? They weren't there for me. You know who was? Christ was there for me. And my friends, can I tell you who's there for you? Christ is there for you.
Not that social drinking or social having fun. That's fake. That's not real. That's not what helps you in your life. You know what's real? God is real. Because I'm telling you, when you see that child that's seeing things that they shouldn't see, the only thing that's going to help that child is Christ. Guess what? It's the same thing that helps you in your marriage. Christ. It's the same thing that helps you in your family. Christ. It's the same thing that helps you when your bills are being stacked. Christ. But we don't know how to apply it because we're still a little bit immature. We're not awake to it. And my friends, he says, stand fast. What do you mean? Hold your ground even when the culture shifts. Quit you like men. What does that mean? Act with courage. What does that mean, my friends? Grow up. Grow up. So what if you and your wife don't agree? So what? Grow up. How do you grow up? Ephesians 5:25, man, what are we supposed to do? Love our wives, right? Husbands, love your wife as what? That he? It doesn't say because she deserves it. Praise the Lord. God was specific. Amen? No offense, ladies. But sometimes it's in this situation. Amen? Society. Sometimes culture leads and sometimes we follow. Sometimes things are not lovely. Sometimes situations are not lovely. Doesn't matter if it is or if it's not. I still need to do right. If that hat fits, I get it. Well, they're going to take advantage of it. That's up to them, between them and God. My God is real. My God is real. See, this is the difference between people saying, well, you just don't have empathy. No, my friends, I've been through too much. I'm waiting for you to catch up and realize, man, what are you waiting for? Grow up. Quit you like men. Be courageous. Why are you going to waste your time on petty stuff? Why are you going to sweat the small stuff? So you don't agree? You could disagreeably agree. Amen? I mean, agreeably disagree? Yeah, agreeably disagree. I don't know. It's something like that. Amen? But my point that I'm trying to make is handle responsibility. It says be strong. What does that mean? Whose strength? God's strength. Not my ego. That just makes me egotistical. That just makes me arrogant. Oh, I can do that. No, you can't. God can. It's setting your priorities right. Understanding who I am and understanding who he is. I am nothing without him. I embrace that. I'm not ashamed of that. To give God all the honor, to give God all the glory. Amen. I don't glorify sin. I don't glorify the devil here. And in my home, you can come to my home. We don't do that. You know who we give honor and glory to, praise to? God. God's been so good to us. And Victory Baptist Church, is about time we realize God's been so good to us. Don't take these things for granted. Some of the things that God has been doing in our church, you don't find them in other churches. And not to badmouth, I will never badmouth other churches or pastors. But understand, appreciate what God is giving you. Stop wanting something that he hasn't given you. Amen? Your families, appreciate what God is giving you. Stop coveting and desiring something that God hasn't given you. Amen? Here's the irony of it. When you stop coveting, he gives it to you. It's a heart issue. Sometimes we're spiritually immature. You get it? I want us to understand here, Paul was just trying to help the church, and he's saying, look, let all be done with charity. At the end of the day, strength with love is compassion. You show people grace because you have the love of God. But strength without love, you know what that's called? Child abuse. You know what that's called? Wife beater. You know what that's called? Husband beater. Amen? Because husbands get beat up too. Amen? That's what that's called, abuse. It's called cruelty. I'm stronger than you, but you have no love? That's cruelty. Here's my first point. I hope you're still with me. Say amen. If you're not and checked out, I'll be praying. Amen? Just pray for me. Amen? Here's the first point. Don't quit when the home gets heavy. Don't quit when the home gets heavy. Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. In other words, what is evil, right? When you desire evil to someone or to do evil to someone. What is that? It's to what? Harm, to hurt, destroy, kill. But it's saying here, if it seems like it's going to kill you, harm you, destroy you, to serve the Lord, does it seem like that's going to happen to you when you serve the Lord? Oh God, you just want to take advantage of me. I'm here preaching every day. Nobody recognizes me. Hey, calm down. Calm down. He's giving you a purpose, son. You want to go back to where you came from? Oh, no, God. I don't. I lost many friends, many family members. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, he's going to make a distinction, right? This is the children of Israel. They had just crossed the Jordan to the promised land, right? And now Joshua is in his last days, and he's going to give him this one truth. He's like, look, you know where we came from. And so many of you know where you came from. And you know, if you didn't come from a bad circumstance, listen, you know how your condition was. You were lost without Christ, right? So you know where you came from. You're a sinner, saved by grace. You would have split hell wide open if it wasn't for Jesus, right? So we know. He's saying, choose you whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, right? Well, we're on the other side of the flood, right? The Egyptians, where they came from, amen? They learned that was to serving many gods and whatnot. Or the gods of the who? Amorites. The Amorites were the people that dwelt in that land, in that wilderness. They had false gods, pagan gods, okay? In whose land ye dwell? Oh, okay. You probably need to read. That's why I love the King James. Amen. Read it. It's in its context. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't quit when home gets heavy. Make a choice. Choose to serve God. If it's tough to be a father, sir, choose to be God, but don't quit. Can I tell you, nowadays we see men quitting. They don't quit publicly. You know how they quit? Privately. What do you mean? They still go to work. What do you mean? They still pay bills. What do you mean? They still show up. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. They go to these addictions, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whatever it is. Women. They go to these addictions. They still pay the bills. They still help around the house. They go to work. They show up. But here's the thing that they don't do. Emotionally, they're checked out. They're checked out. Emotionally, they're checked out. And here's the thing. Satan loves that. Oh, he loves that. We don't get it, do we? That's called spiritual immaturity. See, here's the pressure sometimes on fathers, right? We have this financial stress. We have marriage tensions. We have raising children in chaos. Amen. Pastor, you have that? All of the above. Amen. We have exhaustion. We feel unappreciated. But guess what, man? I'm going to help you out and encourage you here. Something I learned. God never called a father to be perfect. He just called him to be present. That's all I needed, man. Just a man to be present. I didn't need him to be perfect. I just needed him to be there. Joshua 24:15 says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A real man doesn't run when life gets heavy. You say, Pastor, what does he do? He still prays when he's tired. That's what we do. Pastor, what does he do? He leads even when times are uncertain. What does he do? He shows up when no one's clapping. That's what a man does. Quit you like men. My friends, it doesn't have to look pretty, but I want you to understand that any fool can make a baby. Amen. It takes a man to raise one. You say, Pastor, what can I do? Be present. Don't be perfect, because none of us are. Embrace that imperfection. That's what we don't need in church, perfect people. Just be present, man. Be here in the moment. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, if you're still with me, say amen. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh what? Reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? life everlasting. Well, that's Galatians 6:9. No? Okay. It's okay. It's okay. This is a good, this is part of the context, okay? So he's talking about leading by the flesh or leading by the Spirit, right? If you go to Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not be weary in what? In doing right, well doing, and doing well. For in due season we shall what? Reap if we. You say, Pastor, the bills are stacking up. Pastor, the children constantly need guidance. Pastor, it takes a lot of effort to make the marriage work. And can I tell you something? Work will drain your energy, by the way. Negative people do too. That's why I stay away from them. But here's the thing. You're going to look at it like a tidal wave of problems coming your way. Paul said, do not grow weary in well-doing. That means don't stop doing right just because doing right gets tiresome or tiring. Think about that. Keep doing right. Even when you're tired, keep doing right. Many fathers quit emotionally. What do you mean, Pastor? When it gets too heavy, they quit. Many husbands become distant when responsibility rises. But God says, keep sowing, keep loving, keep investing, keep leading, keep praying, keep showing up. Why? Because the harvest is there if you don't quit. You know, here in East Texas, amen, I know we're getting a little modern here and more city-like in Tyler area. Those of you in Longview, we're praying for you. But I have to throw chats in. But you know, in this East Texas area, right, there's a lot of farmland, right? And a lot of farmers, what they do in order to get harvest, what do? They sow seed, right? They toil, they work the ground, right? They put the seed in there, and then they let the sun do its job, the rain do its job. But they don't go the next day and see if there's a sprout. That would be ridiculous. Maybe the neighbors are like, man, that farmer's working hard. Maybe you're not a farmer. You have a garden. You know, ladies, y'all like garden. Men, some of you like garden. Amen. Amen. But how long does it usually take? Does it take a day, 24 hours? Weeks. Months sometimes. Okay. Here's the thing. Until you see a sprout. What does that mean? It takes what? Time. It takes time. You say, Pastor, I don't see the home getting better. It takes time. I don't see the tension resolving around my marriage. It takes time. Stop trying to be an instant gratification society or generation. It's not Burger King, have it your way. It takes time. I don't see these children doing right. It takes. That means you have to invest, 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 invest. That means you don't quit when you're tired. You keep working that soil. You keep toiling and plugging away. And yes, I know, I agree with you. It's not pretty sometimes. But doesn't mean you quit. My friends, what here, some of the best things that are happening in your house are happening where your eyes can't see. What do you mean, Pastor? If you stay faithful in a season that there's no growth, okay? If you stay faithful, guess what? God will reward you if you refuse to quit. Results. Here's my second point. Don't quit when the pressure is personal. James 1:3, let me make sure. Says, knowing this, that the what? Now, this trying is not modern day vernacular of, No. It's do or not do, right? What is that famous Yoda saying? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Star Wars. Amen. But let's go back to the spiritual. Amen. But here's the truth, right? There's no trying of that kind, of that sort. This trying is called what? Testing. Okay, this is testing. That the testing or the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. It worketh what?
patience. The church of Corinth were full of believers, and they were cracking under pressure, and some people quit because, well, they hurt me. I didn't like what the pastor said. I just don't like the fact that he doesn't have any hair. I don't like the fact that he doesn't match. I don't know. I'm trying to think, amen. I don't like the fact that, you know, he's not tall enough. Or I don't like the fact that he doesn't know how to preach, amen. But here's the truth. The church of Corinth here, they were the type of people that say, well, life is not fair. They were soft. They were the type of people that if their prayer wasn't answered right away, they stopped praying. You ever met people like that? Pastor. And they mean well, and they're sincere, right? Or they'll say, church, can y'all please pray? And you're like, yeah, what's going on? Pray that I get a new job or that God provides for a car. And God provides, right? And then what do? They stop praying. It's like, oh, God, you're a genie in a bottle. I want a car. That's when I'll come to you. God, you're a genie in a bottle. I want a new job. That's when I come to you. But are you going to God? This is wake up and quit you like men. That's what this means. Be courageous. Take responsibility. Are you walking with God? Or are you just trying to get something from God? Big difference. Amen. Imagine if your spouse was that way. Oh, a happy marriage, right? Hey, I want food, woman. Where's it at? Well, I don't know how many marriages would be successful in that way. Amen. Or the wife. Hey, I need money to pay my nails or paint my hair. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Amen. I don't know. Buy a new outfit. I don't know. But can I tell you something? If all it was is one way, that relationship would be what? Strength. No. It's a two-way street. Hey, babe, you need me to wash the dishes? Careful, men. Careful. Don't throw no tomatoes. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay. The babe comes and says, hey, do you want something to eat? Oh, yeah, sure. I wash those dishes. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, definitely. It's a two-way street. Right? But it's not something demanding. I guess you could do it. It's not something demeaning, I guess, is probably the better word. Hey, why did you wash the dishes, man? What? Because I'm not your dishwasher. What happens there? What's the different spirit? Expectation. Spiritually, you're immature. Hey, where's my food? Sorry. You're spiritually immature. How about, hey, how was your day? And then let him talk. Oh, Pastor, no, I went to work and I'm tired of hearing people talk. Yeah, people that you don't love, but now you came to the love of your life, and the much as effort and investment you did to try to sweep them off their feet, now because you have them, you stop now? No. Build that. Help it reach your potential. Not just the ladies, but for the men too. Amen? Listen, trying, the testing of your faith worketh what? Patience. Here's the thing. The same fire that melts wax, what does it do to steel? It hardens it. It strengthens it. Think about that. Now you say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen. Stop hiding in addictions. Stop escaping yourself into hobbies. Stop shutting down emotionally. Stop becoming angry. Stop isolating yourself, please. Stop. Because here, men, I'm going to tell you something. It takes pressure to alter our lives. It takes pressure to change us. Do you think I would be here, standing here before you, and being, not that I'm a great father, but being the father that I am here, present to my children, even though they're checked out, amen, but being present to my children, if I didn't change what I saw growing up, I wouldn't be here. Guess what had to take place? An altar, a change. Amen? You think I wanted to be a pimp and put my daughters to work?
That's what I grew up around. You think I wanted to be a 110 hauler? In case y'all don't know what that is, H-A-U-L-E-R. You think I wanted to move dope in the 110? That's what you think I want to be? I saw my nephew's life get taken away because of that. That's what you think I wanted to be. I had to change. Your circumstances, your environment does not make who you are. If you put your trust in God, that's how you change. And sir and ma'am, can I tell you, pressure is real. So forgive me if I'm not empathetic or sympathetic to your situation. Okay? You're dealing with issues that, no offense, are irrelevant to life. Nobody's died. Nobody was taken away from you. What are you talking about? We're dealing with immature Christians. And what I'm trying to tell you is the pressure is there to mold you. Amen? To mold you. You think I grew up in a place where they taught you about business? It was a different type of business. Amen. Street pharmacists and things like that. This is a different business. So how is it that I can move in a room full of vultures, people that are trying to take you out, trying to work for themselves and being selfish, and yet be successful? You think I had the skill set? You think I had the pedigree? It's called trust God. That's the, what is it called? That's the sauce. The, what is it? The secret sauce. That's it. It's God. Trust God. My friends, it has nothing to do with me. But it does have to do with the fact that if you're surrendered to God or not. That's called maturity. That's called, hey, don't quit when the pressure is personal. Next verse, please. We are troubled on every side. This is Paul. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Amen. We're from Texas. We're perplexed. Amen. But not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, my friends. Again, this is Paul. And he knew personal pressure. He felt it. He said, troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down. You know what that sounds like to me? Real life. Doesn't it? Real life. To some of us, it's real life. Yes, there were error in our ways in the past. And they've taken us down a wrong path. But if you learn from it, you're the better for it. That's called pressure. Understand that pressure can hit your mind. It can hit your emotions. It definitely hits your finances. Amen. It can hit your body. It can hit your relationships. It can hit your confidence. Low self-esteem. Yet Paul said, not what? Distressed. Not in despair. Not forsaken, not destroyed. In other words, you may be under pressure, but pressure does not have to own you. Think about it. The enemy wants pressure to become your despair. Guess what God wants your pressure to become? Your endurance. To make you resilient. To make you Texas tough. When times get tough. One of the things I realized, I'm coaching a 6U boy team, and praise the Lord, they're doing good, but I tell them this, I want you to have fun, and I want you to try your best. I tell them that because I tell them there's two things they can control in the baseball field, and it's not probably what you think, it's a secret sauce. We do pray before games, so God is in it. I tell them there's two things. You can control your attitude, and you can control your effort. These are six-year-olds. They're like, what? But I have to explain it to them this way. If you miss a hit, you know what I don't want you to do? Pout, mope, and go, ah! Because they're six-year-olds. They can't control their emotions. But you're trying to teach them that through failure in life, if you can have a positive attitude, it'll create positive results. But the positive result comes when you do your best effort. Follow me. It's simple truth that even as adults, we need to apply that I think some of us haven't figured out. I tell them, look, if you miss a catch, is it over? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that if you miss a catch, your parents don't love you anymore? Oh, now I'm getting them to think. Because it's not about baseball. It's about life. How do you handle those things, pressure, when it comes your way? Is it a healthy way you handle it? Or is it toxic and negative? I know some of us weren't taught that. I'm trying to help us. If these boys can get it at this age, guess what's going to happen in your life? Like what's happening to our baseball team. I think we were going to experience our first loss last game. We've been doing pretty well. Amen. God's good. But I know it's just a game, but I'm going to teach you something about it. The boys, this is the first time ever we were trailing. We were losing 6-10. Bottom of the third, last inning for us in 6U. We were last at bat because we were the home team. I went to the dugout. I told the boys, I said, hey, how are you guys doing? Guess what they are? They're deflated. They're all moping. They're like, we're losing. I said, no. You know when you lose? When you quit. That's when you lose. But if you try your best and you lose, it's not a loss. It's a learning experience. What do you mean? Learn what you did wrong and correct it for the next time. That's not the end of life. They're still moping. They said, so are we winning? I said, I don't care about a win. I don't care. You don't, Pastor? I don't. I said, you know what I do care? Developing you boys into men in the future that have character. I want you young men to understand in life there are going to be losses, but you don't have to take them as a loss. Don't quit. Take it as a learning experience of what not to do. And the next time, correct it, and guess what failure becomes? Your success. That's called pressure. Guess what the kids ended up doing? I said, all I need you to do is win this inning. We're the last at bat. We were down 10-6. We ended up hitting 5 home runs, and they end up winning. Because the kids, their spirit and their attitude are so pure that they're willing to believe. What happened to us? He said, life. No, it doesn't have to take that away from you. Pressure doesn't have to own you. It's to help you. A blacksmith uses fire. Sparks fly. But it's to mold and shape these things. Amen? Can I tell you, God uses that the same way. Is that 2 Corinthians? What's the next verse? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. There you go. Not forsaking the what? There's that word. Yeah, that's why I love the King James, because it's very specific. It doesn't say the gathering. It doesn't say the church attendance. It says the what? Assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and some much more as ye see the day approaching. Can I tell you something? If you ordered something from Amazon and it came to you in a box, more than likely, assembly's required. Right? But what happens if you just gather stuff and you don't assemble it? It has no functions. It's useless. Useless. No purpose. It's just a bunch of stuff that's gathered in a box. You bought it for a function. You bought it so it can do something. Can I tell you something? Jesus bought you so you can come to church and do something. Assemble. Required. We're not just here to gather like stuff. We're here to be connected to one another for a purpose. Friend Day, that's why it was successful. Because you didn't just come here to sit around. We had men helping with the chairs, with the trash. We had young men helping with the chairs. We had, of course, a security team. We had a parking attendant. What is that called? Assembling. Connecting. For what? For God to use us. Amen? When you're a Sunday school teacher, God's using you. When you're the pastor, God's using you. When you're the leadership team, God's using you. The song leader, God's using you. The media man, God's using you. Amen? That's what we're here for. Pastor, I'm none of those things. Well, there, I can find, I promise you, bottles of water on the floor, trash. God's using you. Oh, no. That's the problem. Some of us are too immature. That's below me. I don't do trash. Okay. Can I tell you something? It just shows how you handle pressure. It's not about the trash. It's about who you're doing it for. Oh, I'm about position. Then please don't come to church. You know? That's not what we need here. Amen? I'm not here for position. I'm here because I was called, and it's an invitation to serve you. You're God's people. You're God's children. That's why I preach to you the truth. Whether you like it or not, whether it's popular or not, whether it hurts or not, I'm still going to preach the truth because it's the Holy Spirit that does the conviction. Pastor, you want to convict me? Yeah, because I love you. But I don't convict you. It's the Holy Spirit convicts you and your life. He said, Pastor, that's wicked. No, condemning you is wicked. That's conviction. That means what? I love you so much, I'm going to tell you what you need to correct in your life. Amen. That's what Paul's trying to teach him. Last point, and we're done. Oh, that was it? Don't quit when the church is imperfect. Thank you, Brother Zach, for letting me know. Third point, amen? That's the third point. Ephesians, you have Ephesians? With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Listen, this is not a dictatorship. We're not spiritual Hitlers here. This is love. We have to humble ourselves. I like Brother Nickerson and I, we have these talks, amen? And sometimes I appreciate Brother Nickerson because I get under his skin, he gets under my skin, amen? And, you know, it's just different generations. But here's the truth. Sometimes he has to humble himself and say, okay, well, you're the pastor. Sometimes I have to humble myself and say, you've lived a lot longer than I have, so you know what you're talking about. But we have a sweet relationship. I know that if I ever needed him, he's there. He knows that if he ever needs me, I'm there. That's the only way this works. It's called love. I'm not going to stand here and say, well, Brother Nickerson, amen. You don't know what you're talking about. You're an old generation. You went to go fight in the Vietnam, and praise the Lord you did. Thank you for that, your service. How ungrateful of me. Listen to me. How ungrateful of me. What an ingrate if I were to do that to him. Amen? You don't understand. Okay, please don't get offended, okay? I be 1-2. In case y'all don't know, you can look at my birth certificate. You're white. Amen? I'm white, Hispanic. I mean, I don't know who came up with this stuff. Amen? But that's what it said. White, Hispanic, born in Houston, Texas, in Fifth Ward. Amen? Predominantly black area. I don't know what I am. Amen? Heights 57. All I know is this. I can't approach him that way. That would be wrong on my part. You know what that means when I do that? There's something wrong in my heart. If I am judging him by his position, his pedigree, or his personality, or his race, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I am wrong. You have to understand, sometimes it takes humility. Get over yourself, Ezekiel, right? Get over yourself. Okay, you didn't grow up in this environment, but he's probably telling you something that you have never experienced and you don't know about that can actually help you and your children and your family. Oh, that's called humility. I'm not saying that I'm humble, okay? But that's what it takes. You love somebody and you take that. And sometimes, Brother Heath, guess what? It doesn't feel good. It doesn't. But I still need to do what's what? Right. I still need to do what's right. I still need to do what's right. Why? For the sake of my relationship with who? Yeah. If I'm not right with God, how can I be right with you? If I'm not right with God, how can I preach to you what you need? And this is what it's talking about. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, be patient. Forbearing one another. In what? In love. He's telling me that because he loves me. If he didn't love me, he wouldn't even waste a second. Sorry, folks, if he doesn't talk to you. Amen. But I'm just saying, amen. It's just that's how it works. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Listen, if you expect heaven out of people on earth, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. We're citizens of heaven, but we're not there yet, right? Paul did not say to the church, people, you always need to be easy to deal with. You know what he said instead? It's going to require lowliness. What is that? Humility. If you're going to deal with people, it's going to require what? Meekness. What is that? Gentleness. Power. Controlled. Under control. Gentleness. It's going to require long suffering. What is that? Patience. When you're dealing with people, it's going to require these things. Forbearing one another. I guess the best way I could put that is putting up with one another in love. Okay, amen. I'm sorry if that's not the right definition, but that's what I'm getting from it, and God, forgive me if I did that wrong, amen? Forbearing one another, amen? Why, Pastor? Because every church is filled with imperfect people that are still growing in grace. Right. Don't count them out. You're a child of God. That's why I don't count you out. People counting me out, I know how that feels, and it hurts. Because you have a pastor that experienced that, that's one thing. But that's really not the secret sauce. The secret sauce is that pastor of yours. I'm talking to myself in third person, about myself in third person. But I've learned to get into the Word of God and understand that it's not my experiences. God chose me through my experiences, and it decided to use me so I can reach people. But also, it's part of my healing process. You have to understand. I have an inner child that has traumatic things, low self-esteem. I don't want to give you all the answers, but there are things I struggle with. And he's giving me you, because this is my therapy. This is my healing. And I'm afraid, I think some of you don't understand that. God is using me to try to preach to you the Word of God, because here's the thing. Some of you are supposed to reach other people. And I don't think we're mature enough to understand that that child that you are that was traumatized, I don't know what happened in your life, has to go through this pressure. But you can't quit because your church is imperfect. God is giving you a church so you can exercise those spiritual gifts of that child. That child, whoever that child is, the one that made friends, the one that was safe, whoever that child is, the one that bonded in relationships, whatever it was you did at that child age, guess what? Now as an older person, you still have that inner child. You're still you. You have that essence. You're a human being. But now you have an opportunity to do it better. Not the way they did it to you. By using the Word of God and saying, look, this is how you do it. With love. Not with cruelty. There's a difference, my friends. That's what church is about. It's helping people. It's loving people where they're at, understanding that imperfect people are still growing in grace. Bow your head, close your eyes. Just imagine.